The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for them. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. And then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone came to him and said, "I will follow you wherever I go." And Jesus said to them, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But that one said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to that one, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those in my home." And Jesus said to that one, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Friends, it is World Cup season. Is anybody besides me excited to be watching the World Cup? All right. I'm glad it's every 2 years now as opposed to every 4 years, because FIFA kind of got their heads out of the rear end and said, yes, there are amazing women in the world who can play this game too and are awesome. I love watching the U.S. women's national team. They're also the only good national team we have. You heard me right. I love watching those women play. They are amazing. They are strong and powerful and dedicated. If you go back and watch the game they had this past week, that first goal that Megan Rapinoe struck from outside the box, it was on a free kick, and she came up and she hit that ball and it curved through so much traffic and found a hole in the back of the net. It was amazing. Megan Rapinoe has dedicated her life to become the very best soccer player she can be. She watches what she eats. She trains hard. She's committed to it. She does everything she can to become the very best soccer player that she can be. And she has sacrificed a lot in her life in order to do so. Opportunities that were given to her, opportunities that will never materialize in their lives, to play for the women's national team here in America, all the while there's an ongoing lawsuit between the women's national team and the federation that employs them about gender discrimination and wage gaps. I remember last World Cup cycle for the women, hearing a story about when there was a women's team that was playing down in Texas. Two of the women, one of which I believe was Megan Rapinoe, was coming to play, and they were not paid enough to afford hotel rooms for the game they were coming to play. And so a friend of the team put up these two amazing soccer players to stay in their home for a week. That friend happened to be Stan Van Gundy, former NBA basketball coach. So it was a nice house. But still, these women have dedicated their lives, and they train, and they work so hard to be the very best player they can be in a sport where they're not treated very fairly, unfortunately. And they've sacrificed so very much and dedicated themselves so completely to be the very best they can be. In today's reading, well, I have to admit first, when I was a young man, I was an athlete, I was not that dedicated. I wrestled and I ran track. I was the last guy cut from our high school soccer team, and I was easily distracted, mainly by girls and video games and hanging out with my friends, on occasion a book. I was easily distracted. I was not that dedicated. I was not that focused. I just wasn't. So I never achieved that potential in my life. I also don't think I ever had that potential in my life to be that great of a player. But still, I didn't put myself fully into it. I wasn't committed to it. And in today's readings, we hear about Elisha. And Elisha is called by the prophet to follow him. And he does something kind of strange, doesn't he? He's in the field plowing with a dozen oxen, and he comes back to that field and he kills those oxen and lights a fire and makes a sacrifice to God. He burns it to the ground. Those oxen, that equipment, that would have been his livelihood, and probably the livelihood of his extended family. He took it, and he sacrificed all of it to follow after God. I don't think we're that dedicated as people. In our honest moments, I think we have to admit that we get kind of distracted when God calls us to do stuff, especially when it's stuff we might not want to do, because we have dreams, we have ideas, we have visions, we have stuff we'd like to do, we have opportunities that present themselves in our lives that we follow and we sometimes put ourselves into, and we're not as dedicated to loving God with our whole hearts and our whole minds and putting God first in our lives, above everything else. We have to admit that we don't love as God has loved us. We sometimes don't even love ourselves as God has loved us, much less our neighbors and creation and the people God calls us to love. You know, those people on the outside that we don't really want to be by? The outsiders, the aliens, the foreigners, those on the fringes of our culture. God continually calls us toward those people. And in our honest moments, we have to admit that we don't want to go there. We got our own plans. We are unworthy of the call of God, unworthy of the love of God, unworthy to put our hand upon the plow and do the work that God has called us to do. And yet, God still loves us. Even when we can't love ourselves, God still loves you. And God calls you to share that love, to let that love fill you and flow out of you into those around you. You don't deserve it, but you get it anyway. God calls you to share it, to share that love, even when it's hard, and to share that love with the people that God calls you to. You know, that annoying person who sits three cubicles down, that person. How do you share the love of God with them that you've been given? And God calls you to work, amazing work, life-changing work that is hard, that demands that we sacrifice things, that demands that sometimes we let go of our own dreams, our own plans, our own visions, to open ourselves to what God is calling us to do. It took me a long time to open to the idea that God was calling me a pastor. That's a conversation for a different day. But God has called us to go about the work God has for us, the work of embracing those in pain, of walking with those who are grieving, of being a compassionate presence for anyone, helping feed those who are hungry, clothe those who are naked, and walking with the grace that we don't deserve, but we've been given anyway, that we get to share. And when we feel like we aren't worthy and we can't do it because we can't, there is good news. You don't have to do it all alone. You don't have to do it all yourself. We get to do it as a community. We get to go about the work God has called us toward, get to put our hands upon that plow as a community, and realize that we have been empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit to do the work God has called us to follow as God has called us, to walk down that path God has opened before us. And when the steps don't seem to make sense, and everything seems that we don't have a clue what we're going to be doing, know that God is there leading us and giving you the gifts and abilities to do the work God has for you. Remember in the gospel lesson, two of Jesus' followers, those disciples that we put on pillars of amazingness, they wanted to burn a city to the ground. Do you think they might have missed the point? And yet through them, the the world was changed. Through them, the love of God was shared. Through them, the love of God was made known, that we've been made known as well. And we too, like them, miss it so often and have our own ideas of how we'd like to see it go. We can take that step back and sacrifice some of those ideas and realize that God is calling us. And in the calling, the Spirit equips you with the words you'll need to say, the things you'll need to do, to walk in those ways, to do the work that God is calling you to. Our part in that, like those soccer players, is to train ourselves to be open to that call, to be committed to following it, even when it's hard, even when we don't want to, even when it doesn't make sense, to try to follow that path, and when the opportunity presents itself, do the work that God has prepared for us to do. And in doing so, we make a place for Christ in our hearts that might not be found anywhere we walk. And we get to share that as we lean into the promises God has for you, so that we can go and share the good news about the kingdom of God in what we say and what we do. And when we're at a loss for words to realize, the Spirit is there to give them to you and to show you what to do when words don't even matter. Because God has called us to the hard work of revealing the kingdom of God now to everyone. It's not easy, but we can do it because of the gifts God has given to us. And we can do it together as we follow where the Lord is leading, to show the world the love that we know that we don't deserve, but is ours anyway. And that message we get to share each and every day, my friends. Let us dedicate ourselves to that. Will you pray with me? Dearest Lord Jesus, Father God, Spirit, we thank you for your love for us that we can't make sense of, but is ours anyway to receive. Help us to commit ourselves to that love and to sharing that love, into doing the work you have called us to, empowered by you. And when it's hard, remind us that you are there and we are not alone, calling us to share the good news of you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us